Hello, everyone. It's the Sweet Spot. Bruce Millington and Steve Palmer with the Racing Post's weekly golf show. We've got loads to look forward to. No fewer than three tournaments this week. All around the world. We're in America, we're in Kenya, and we're in Puerto Rico. We will get stuck into Steve's tips shortly. But before, as always on the show, we'll recap what happened last week. Just the one tournament, and an Austrian won a PGA Tour event for the first time, Sepp Straka. That was a bit of a shock. 140-1 you could have backed him. Most punters thought Straka couldn't, but in the end, Straka Khan. Did you get that, Steve?
I'm sorry. Shaka Khan. I worked on that
for ages. Thanks, mate.
Sorry, I wasn't sure whether you'd finished or not. I was giving you more chance to have your little fun.
No, it's your go now. Are you well?
It's my go now. I'm all right.
It's going to be a long show if we kept it over.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, Roger, over. I'm all right. I don't think last week went wonderfully. I'm perked up by your little melody there. But I just think life's cyclical. I think I got a bit too high last week. It was a series of disappointments. The football didn't go well. Home draw, away defeat from a football team. Family health did not go well. Daughter got COVID start of the week. Domino effect. Son got it. I got it. Wife's the only one that's managing to resist so far, amazingly. And then obviously the golf didn't help. You know, very poor start to the tournament for us. We scraped a bit of place money from Alexander Noren, finishing fifth. All would have been well, actually. I don't want to be too downbeat. All would have been well. Well, we'll be downbeat, but all would have been well if Shane Lowry had won. Because we put Shane Lowry up at 25-1 on Golfwise Extra, didn't we? At the halfway stage of that tournament. I got a lovely bet on him up to 32 on the exchanges at the halfway stage. So I was really pleased on Sunday night, despite not feeling very well. I was thinking, this is going to end nicely with Shane Lowry winning. He looked for all the world the likely victor. And then, as you say, your man Straka just pipped him at the post with an incredible finish, didn't he?
He certainly did. I mean, most importantly, how is everyone? Have you got it bad, or is it fairly minor in the grand scheme of things, the COVID?
It's the kids are so resilient, aren't they? It doesn't really. The kids seem to. Yeah, you know, Grace is loving it. She says it gives her extra energy or something. She, you know, she's off school. She's enjoying the freedom of that. You know, we're all locked away, so that, you know, yesterday's weather was a nightmare. It was raining all day, but. I mean, for me, I think Saturday night I peaked. I misjudged Saturday night. I went a very strange colour on Saturday night. So I looked in the mirror just before I went to bed. I was like a fat beetroot, and my head was like a fat beetroot. And I stupidly put it down to the lager I'd been drinking that night. I thought, because I was drinking a lager I don't normally drink, sort of low quality lager, I thought I was having a bad reaction to that. And at that point, I wasn't positive. And then the next morning, I tested positive. I realised why I looked like that. But yeah, I've recovered. Yeah, I had a couple of days feeling rough. I feel good now. I feel good.
Good. What lager was it? Skol or something?
It was Perlenbacher Pilsner. It's not my usual. It was a sort of emergency supply from Lidl, Perlenbacher Pils, and it didn't agree with me. I prefer the premium quality of Heineken.
I mean, before we move on, Steve, we should really touch upon other people who are feeling fairly green around the gills, whatever that means. And that's people who backed Daniel Berger at the outset. Because, I mean, he serenely cruised into what looked like a potentially unassailable lead and then an awful start on Sunday. And that put pay to his chances, didn't it? I mean, I think he was about 1-8 before he teed off on the final round.
I hope lots of people were reading Golfwise Extra on racingpost.com on Saturday.
Well, tell us about
Sunday,
Golfwise because Extra, Steve. Can you do a little advert for it? What is it? Where do you consume it? And when does it appear?
I think we should give a good advert for it because it provided a very good service to people last week. They wouldn't have been green around the gills if they'd been laying Daniel Berger. So we were very negative about Daniel Berger because, he went miles ahead. Yeah, it's a similar tournament to Wacom Neiman the previous week, but with a different end result. But you can get Golfwise Extra on Saturday mornings and Sunday mornings, which is a roundup of how the tournament on the PGA Tour.
Where do I get it from? The shops?
Racingpost.com. Sports section. You can't miss it from there. And I've never liked Daniel Berger. You always call me being a bit of a swing snob, don't you? But Daniel Berger, you could take Daniel Berger down your local municipal and no one would bat an eyelid. They'd just go, oh, hurry up, mate. Just a rubbish swing.
Say hurry up, we'll come to that, but go on.
He's got technical imperfection in his swing. And I always think if you've got such technical imperfection in your swing, you always do a howler, a mishit shot here and there. And he was grinding well and managing his game well for the first 3 days. And even on Sunday with two two bits of luck. You know, he's holed from the bunker, then he's chipped in. Still not enough to hang on with a 5-shot lead. So, I'm not a fan of Berger, and I won't be backing him for a long time because that was his home event. You know, if he is going to win, that was the one, really.
Well, let's talk about the putting. I mean, this thing where he keeps bending over and sort of relining his ball up, just messing around. It was the most tedious thing I've ever watched. It was ridiculous, wasn't it? Yeah. So for that reason alone, I'm glad that he didn't win. But,
I'm glad he didn't win for many reasons. Yeah, mostly I hope a lot of people laid him at 1-4 on Sunday and got with Shane Lowry and got themselves in some great positions. Because he seems a bit of a cocky lad, doesn't he? I don't really like him. You know, to cut a long story short, you know, he seemed very, like in the interviews, he just seems to try and get him out of the way really quickly. I don't rate him as a player. I think he feeds off his associations with these other players. Like, he's good mates with a lot of really good players, and he's been bracketed as this, you know, member of the elite. I don't think he'll stay in a member of the elite for much longer.
Yeah, we'll see. But anyway, as Steve was saying, Golf Eyes Extra on the Racing Post website. It's basically Steve gives an update after every round and a really complete guide to what's coming up that day. So keep checking that out. And he puts some in-running in-play tips as well in. So well worth checking out. Anything else to catch you on from last week, or should we move ahead? We've got a busy week, haven't we?
I think we need to spend longer talking about Shane Lowry, who said he played some of the best golf of his career last week. Yeah, I don't think you can quibble with that. PGA National, ridiculously difficult golf course. He's closed with three rounds of 67. He didn't make a bogey on Sunday. His main task in that final two ball was to catch Daniel Berger. He was obviously focused on Daniel Berger, did that job emphatically, played really, really well, Shane Lowry. And then Straka went bananas over those closing holes. And poor old Shane Lowry, when the heavens opened on the 18th tee, making that par five much more difficult for Shane Lowry, much longer. And then he pulled his tee shot into the rough, had to lay up. And then he seemed to rush his wedge shot. Were you watching it at that stage, or did you give up?
I watched.
Yeah, it came out from under the umbrella, and I think he was worried about getting a wet club face, because with wedge shots, you want to, your spin's crucial. And I think he rushed that wedge shot because he was so keen on keeping the club dry. He just came out for the umbrella, boshed it and pulled it left. Really heartbreaking finish for Shane Lowry. But I think you've got to keep him in mind for future events. It was really impressive stuff.
OK, right. Let's move on then. The Florida swing continues with the Arnold Palmer Invitational. Let's have a quick look at the market. It's a good tournament this week. Big Johnny Rahm, favourite at 17-2. Rory, 12-1. Victor Hovland, 16-1. Scotty Scheffler, 16-1. Matsuyama, 25. Zalatoris, 28. Im and Fitzpatrick, 30. 35-1, and bigger the rest. So, a decent tournament, Steve. Whereabouts are we in Florida?
We're in Orlando, Florida. One of the nicest places in the world, in my humble opinion. 7,000. Yeah. Been to the Disney World. I've got a huge liking for Orlando. I want to go back there as soon as I possibly can. Maybe when we back the winner of all three tournaments this week, we can all go there on a big jolly Disney trip. Nice. We have got to tackle a 7,466-yard golf course. It's a par 72, four par fives. It's been host since 1979.
What's it called, the course?
Bay Hill Club and Lodge.
Okay.
But old Uncle Arnie, as you disgracefully called him, Albert, there, old Uncle Arnie, God rest his soul. He used to tinker so much with his track. You know, it's rarely the same from one year to the next. So it's not just a case of looking at the course form and then going, buddy, buddy, buddy. You've got to really analyse how it was set up for each of those years. I think punters should disregard pre-2010 form. There was a big redesign before 2010. 2015 to 2018, Arnie let it be really easy. He wanted to see some birdies in his latter years. Easy setups for those ones. But then from 2019 onwards, it's been tougher. We've got a breeze forecast this week, Friday afternoon, Saturday afternoon, Sunday afternoon. I think it will play quite difficult, actually. I think similar scoring to what we had at the Honda Classic last week.
Oh, does that mean a draw bias? Do you want to be off on Thursday afternoon?
I'm afraid it does look like we might get one. Yeah, you want to be off on Thursday afternoon, yeah, and sneak 36 holes in without any wind.
Have they done the pairings yet?
No. Keep your wits about you. When the tee times are up, if you can get a late start Thursday, I think you're in better shape.
Okay, while we are on the subject of Arnold Palmer, in the same way that I approached the Pebble Beach Pram with a feeling of dread with clips of Bill Murray arsing around on the greens, I kind of have this similar feeling of dread for this one, because Nick Doherty, who I like massively, I think he's a brilliant, brilliant commentator. I think he seems like a really good bloke. I like everything about him. But for one little thing, he insists on calling Arnold Palmer Mr. Palmer and Jack Nicklaus Mr. Nicklaus. I can't have that at all. I know people go, oh, it's a nice show of respect to legend of the game. Oh, okay, it's just nonsense. I can't have that. So hopefully sellers of Mr. Palmer, total Mr. Palmers from Nick Doherty will be in clover this week. But I
obviously love that. I love
Do you?
Yeah, obviously I love Mr. Palmer, because yeah, I want Mr. Palmer to get the utmost respect, you know, my great uncle. And Nick Doherty, I can confirm, is a good egg, because I tested him out on the good egg radar at one of the opens. So I think maybe the last open I went to, and he came to talk to someone who was near me, and he was right there. And I said, "Oh, Nick, you know, he obviously had no idea who I was." And I said, "How's it going? Is it better being a pundit than a player?" And some random bloke comes up to you and starts annoying you, and you physically going through your day, you expect short shrift. But he happily chatted to me about the differences and the different challenges and that. And
I can very much believe that.
Yeah, I think he is. I think he is a nice chap. So
not like his Sky commentator who legendarily pushed in front of us at the foreign exchange place at Heathrow that time, never to be forgiven.
That grave's going to be raked up every opportunity.
Absolutely,
no, it's a good egg. So yeah, Mr. Palmer, we love Mr. Palmer. We love Mr. Doherty. And we love Mr. Scheffler, if I can just segue us on nicely.
You certainly can, but first we better get the total number of tips this week.
We got five for this one. We got five. Okay. I'll lay it all on the table now. We got five for this one, five for the DP World Tour event, and then three for the Puerto Rico Open at the end.
5-5-3 formation, is it?
It is, it is.
Okay. Right then, well, you've given it away. Tell us why you like Scotty Scheffler so much.
Scotty Scheffler, the world number six. Such a consistent player now. He followed up that Phoenix Open glory with seventh place in the Genesis Invitational. He's a Ryder Cup winner. He's fully established as a member of the elite now. And Bay Hill, as discussed, should be a stiff ball striking test this week. He's made for stiff ball striking test. He finished 15th in his only previous start at Bay Hill. That was in his rookie season when we couldn't expect much. He's not played that many Florida events. He's still a relative PGA Tour newcomer, but he was fifth in the WGC at the concession last year. And that forecast for win Friday, Saturday, Sunday is encouraging for Scheffler fans. He was born in New Jersey, but he's been a Texan for 90% of his life. He plays well in a breeze. I think the chef serves up another tasty dish for his customers this week.
Why, is it windy in Texas?
Yes, very much so, yeah.
Is it? Always, I didn't know
always, that. Yeah, always windy in Texas.
What are you basing that on?
Fact.
Right. I won't argue. Who's the second best?
Next best is Mark Leishman. I love saying his name. Mark Leishman. 35-1. Former Bay Hill champion. He won it in 2017. That's not the only time he has been on a Bay Hill leaderboard. He loves it there. He was third in 2011 when he was still a PGA Tour maiden. He was seventh in 2018. He was runner-up in 2020, beaten by just a shot. And this season, there's been that sense that another victory's coming for Leishman. He was fourth in the Fortinet Championship in September. He was third in the Shriners in October. He was third in the QBE shootout with Jason Day in December. This year, four solid efforts. Last time out, 15th in the Genesis. Loves playing in the wind. What is not to like about Mark Leishman this week?
Okay, third up.
Hideki Matsuyama. Just get my breath back. Hideki Matsuyama, 25-1. He's gone up a level this year. I think mentally, definitely he's gone up a level this year. Since claiming the green jacket last year, he has admitted in interviews that he feels a million times less pressure on the golf course now. All of Japan was desperate for him to become a major champion. It was a huge monkey on his back. It's not easy to swing a golf club with a monkey on your back, Bruce. No. This year, he's swinging freely now. He's won two of his last six tournaments. Zozo Championship, Sony Open. He was eighth in the Phoenix Open. Matsuyama's looking formidable. He lives in Windermere, Florida, just up the road from Bay Hill. He was sixth at Bay Hill in 2016. He plays it every year. He's never missed a cut. You have to have Hideki on your team.
Yeah, I must admit, when I had a little look at the prices, and obviously I know much less about it, I was slightly surprised there was such a big gap between him and the guys at the front of the queue. So that's interesting. Excellent. And then two more.
keeping the faith with a friend from last week. He almost did the business for us in terms of a place return. Keith Mitchell, who finished ninth on Sunday, improved his score every day. 71, 70, 69, 68. Loves competing in Florida. His only PGA Tour victory came in the Honda Classic. He was thrilled to see his mate Sepp Straka win last week. They're both.
Yeah, how come they were so close? I mean, I didn't quite get that.
Georgia Bulldogs, isn't it? Georgia Bulldogs.
Oh, okay. They're college buddies, are they?
College, but all stick together, those guys. Yeah, college buddies. And Mitchell obviously won that event, and now Straka's won that event. Yeah, they probably had a big party on Sunday night. Mitchell has Bay Hill form figures of 6-5-43. He was playing rubbish going into last year's Arnold Palmer. He was coming off three missed cuts, and that's where the 43 came from. This time he's in fantastic nick. 12th, 10th, 9th in his last three starts. Yeah, this is a Mitchell brava. Mitchell brava. You don't want to go on the wrong side of this Mitchell brava this week. One for the EastEnders fans. American viewers completely bewildered. Sorry about that.
That's right. And finally, who have we got?
Christian Bezuidenhout. 66-1 still out there. Three-time European Tour champion, PGA Tour maiden. Hasn't got much PGA Tour experience, but has quickly made a name for himself on the Florida swing. 18th and 7th in his two Bay Hill starts. Doesn't tell the full story. That's with final rounds of 79 and 73. He's been banging contention, understandably nervous, inexperienced. In 2020, he had a Sunday two-ball with Rory McIlroy. Tough. I think he'd be better equipped to take any chance this time. And as another hidden piece of form, he's been back this week. I can completely understand. He's a great outsider. But there's a hidden piece of Florida form from the abandoned 2020 Players Championship. You probably remember we got one round in at Sawgrass before the world went COVID crazy. Very easy to forget that. Matsuyama was leading that tournament at the end of it, but Bezuidenhout was in second place after a 65. He loves Florida. He's made a solid start to the year. I think he steps up a gear at Bay Hill.
Okay, and a quick word about the front two in the market, Big Johnny Rahm and Rory McIlroy. What are your thoughts about their chances?
Bay Hill debut for John Rahm. Doesn't normally play this. You know, eager to get off the mark this year. But hasn't played as well as he did in the first week of the year. You know, he's unlucky not to win the century, 33 under par, but not really done much since. I can leave him alone at that price. Yeah, fascinating to think about. Yeah, Rahm's always priced up short these days because he's relentlessly consistent and, you know, very, you know, always giving place returns for his backers. But how many tournaments has he won in the last 17 months? I'll just have a little slurp of this.
While I'm ruminating on that, how many has he won in the last 17 months? I'm going to go 4.
I'm going to go 1.
Blimey.
Yeah. The US Open is the only one. So, he's not winning enough to justify backing at those prices. But, yeah, you can have an each-way bet and be have high hopes of a return. But on his debut, I can't have him.
Okay, and what about Rahm?
Rahm's much better Bay Hill record. I fear Rahm's a bit more. But his iron play is still not quite on point for me.
Okay, should we head off to Kenya without further ado?
Yes.
So, yeah, the DP World Tour, brackets European Tour, deigned to stage a tournament this week after a bit of inactivity for the last few weeks. And it's the Kenya Open. I'm looking at something that says the Kenya Open. It's got a nice adjective in there, hasn't it? What is it?
It's the magical Kenya Open, yeah.
Oh, how nice.
Yeah. I think, is it Phil Daniels? Is he the famous magician? Paul Daniels,
yeah.
Oh, no, he's dead, isn't he? He's dead.
Yeah, he was.
Who's the king of the magicians there?
David Copperfield.
Oh, David Copp. Maybe David Copperfield's there as tournament host.
I was out walking in London and I think I walked past Phil Daniels on Sunday, just as an aside.
Who's Phil Daniels?
Yeah, Park Life. You know, the bloke who says, I feed the pigeons.
That's Phil Daniels, is it?
Yeah. He was in EastEnders and he was in Quadrophenia and all sorts.
Oh, I see. I see. You walked past him, did you? You should have said hello.
No, because that's like you can't do that, can you? You have though. You start getting into difficulty then, like you did with the fellow with the PGA Tour umbrella.
Yeah. Sometimes it can come off.
No, you could have said hello. Driving him mad. I mean, I know that you got away with it with Nick Doherty, but I mean, if I'd gone up to Phil Daniels and, you know, he was with his dog and I go, oh, you had a bit of park life. Oh, can you imagine anything worse? Ridiculous.
You might have had untold chemistry, though, and become friends for life. He might have said, you seem like a really good bloke. Do you fancy going up the pub? And
then before you know it, get this tit away from me.
Yeah,
right, the Kenya Open, the magic Kenya magic. Open. Here's the state of play as far as the market goes. Dean Burmester is 14s, Justin Harding 16s, Adrian now 16s, Adrian Moronk 18s, try and win it for Steve's neighbour. Thomas Detry 20s, Johannes Veerman 22, Armitage 28, Van Thunder 28, 33 bar. So we're not talking star-studded. Very exciting field in terms of openness, I suppose, Steve. Well, very exciting, might be pushing it, but it's a wide-open affair, let's say that, shall we?
Yeah, you can say that. You can say that. And, we're disappointed. We used to play this at Karen. Do you remember we used to play this at Karen?
Yeah,
we
used Karen, that's right.
We used to like that. We've had a divorce from Karen, and we've run off with Muthaiga. We're at Muthaiga Golf Club now, which is also in Nairobi. 184 yards, par 71, four par fives. But we've got loads of Challenge Tour form to go through. There's been 18 Challenge Tour events at Muthaiga. It's a tight, tree-lined, undulating track. Accurate drivers seem to prosper there. Aaron Rye is a course winner, a very good example of an accurate driver.
He's playing well in America, isn't he? He's doing very well over there.
Yeah, all credit to him. All credit to him. Yeah, yeah.
He's picking up some nice checks, isn't he?
Yeah, we don't like slow players, though, do we? So
is he slow?
He took so long. I think he was playing with Rory Sabatini, which was quite... I mean, you could see
that's not going to work, is it?
Steam was coming out of Sabatini's ears.
Oh, what you're saying is it's a straight hitter's track, this, isn't it?
It is, it is. And we got five players that... it's some decent prizes in this set of five. It is really? decent odds package.
Are you dipping your toe into the three-figure bucket at all?
We got one in the three-figure.
You seem to have forgotten that. You've got very conservative lately.
No, we got one in the three-figure bucket.
Right then. Go on then. Who's the headline tip?
Oliver Becker, old sweet spot friend. One of the few players in this field with some positive course experience to draw upon. Becker was 18th on his Muthaiga debut in the 2010 Kenya Open. He was outside the world's top 1,300 at the time. He was 14th in 2012. He was 6th in 2018. So he can hit the ground running at a course he knows well. A lot of players coming here for the first time this week. He's a seven-time winner on the Sunshine Tour. He excelled on the Challenge Tour last year. He was runner-up in the South African Open just before Christmas. You must remember that heartbreak for us when he got pipped by Danny Van Tonda.
Very much so.
Yeah, Becker has been at it again this year. He's finished ninth in both of the events in Ras Al Khaimah. You know, he's enjoying a career peak, is Becker, at the age of 37. You know, traditionally, golfers peaked in their late 30s in the olden days. Now it seems to be much younger, but Becker's doing it the old-fashioned way. A South African won the last Kenya Open. I think a South African wins this Kenya Open.
Okay, so Steve thinks we should all jump aboard Oliver's army. He's the main selection. Who's the main danger in your eyes?
Shubhankar Sharma, two-time European
Shubhankar
Tour.
Shubhankar Sharma.
Yep. Did us a turn once in the Maybank Championship, you might remember. Two-time European Tour champion. The first of them came in Africa, 2018 Joburg Open. Big things have been expected of Sharma. He's India's great hope, still only 25. And the Abu Dhabi Championship in January provided such a lift for Sharma and his fans. He tied for second place behind Thomas Peters. You must remember that.
So, how can I?
It was just like a little time ago when Thomas Peters won. Your favourite player won the tournament. We were on Rafa Cabrera Bello, who finished tied second with Shubhankar Sharma. Shubhankar Sharma handled himself really well down the stretch. You know, it was a high-class Rolex Series event. And that wasn't a flash in the pan. Over the last 7 months, Sharma has slowly but surely got his act together again. He's making his course debut this week, but I think he'll love it. Yeah. 50-1, Shubhankar Sharma.
50s. Right, lovely. Okay, three more. Away you go.
David Law, 66-1. Another typically accurate driver. I think straight hitting is important this week. He won on the Challenge Tour in 2018. He won on the European Tour in 2019 in Australia. He's won in Morocco on the Pro Golf Tour. He was runner-up in Egypt on the Pro Golf Tour. So he's got some Africa form. He finished 60th in both his Muthaiga starts on the Challenge Tour, but he was well down the world rankings for those events. He's been solid this year. Yeah, much more established player now. 7th and 25th in the Ras Al Khaimah events in his last two starts.
Oh, is it my go?
Yeah, that's David Law. Sorry, I get my breath. I keep saying I'm over this COVID.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I keep saying I'm over it, but then I get a bit breathless sometimes.
Yeah,
I suppose
that's a surprise, particularly when you've got come out with those big monologues about why golfers are going to play well. I'm sure that's not in the COVID recovery book, is it? Okay, so our fourth tip.
Number four is another accurate Scott, Connor Syme at 60-1. Only 26 years old, won on the Challenge Tour in 2019. He was third in the Kenya Open at Karen last year. He's got a solid record in Africa generally. And he seemed to find something in Ras Al Khaimah last time out. 27th in the Ras Al Khaimah Championship, then 6th in the Ras Al Khaimah Classic, 4 rounds in the 60s. One to go. This is your, your three-figure bucket.
Do you need a drink or just a breath, maybe?
No, just a breath.
Okay. And finally, here we go.
Adrian Sadier.
Can you not say him in their local dialect?
Yes, yeah, sorry, it's makes confusing. It harder. Francis, doesn't it? Yeah. Adrian Sadier.
Sadier.
S-A-D-D-I-E-R. Yeah, an Englishman would call him Adrian Sadier, and a Frenchman would call him Adrien Sadier. 29-year-old.
Only if he was Spanish.
A 29-year-old Frenchman, an underachiever, if you don't mind me saying, Adrien, what won the Challenge Tour in 2016. He went well for a long way in the South African Open in 2018. He finished 7th there after leading. He was 6th in the 2013 Nelson Mandela Championship. But the most eye-catching piece of Africa form for Sadier came at Mafega. 2017 Kenya Open, he carded a second-round 62 and finished runner-up to the aforementioned Aaron Rye. He's only played once at Mafega as Adrien Sadier, and he finished 2nd. This time he's arrived in really good heart, promising signs at the end of last year. Doesn't get to play much these days. Doesn't qualify for many tournaments, but he, at the end of last year, 7th at Kranz, 15th in the Dutch Open. This year, last month, Dimension Data Pro-Am, always a decent event, Sunshine Tour, Challenge Tour, co-sanctioned now, finished 7th in the Dimension Data after opening with a 63. And we must also mention, he's fully nappy factored up, is this lad. He became a dad over Christmas time. Little Nathan Sadier is his pride and joy. And between shots on the golf course now, he hums the melody that he uses to get Nathan to sleep.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, that's keeping him calm on the golf course.
Oh, that's a good idea, isn't it? Yeah, I like that.
And he's even got a tattoo on his left forearm of Daddy Bear, Mummy Bear and Baby Bear looking up to the stars. Yeah, he's probably the most potent nappy factor we've ever had. God, Adrien Sadier is mad about being a dad. Yeah.
How do you find that information out, Steve?
When you get down to your ones you're seriously considering, you dig on the internet for every available article on those ones when you're narrowing it down to your final selections. And yeah, that one popped up, and then you Google Translate if you need to. Bob's your uncle. But yeah, if he's in contention this week, look out for his lovely tattoo of the bears, the three bears.
Oh, that sounds great, doesn't it? Oh, how nice. Okay, I think that's a wrap as far as Kenya goes, isn't it?
I think it has to be, yeah.
Right, let's move on now to Puerto Rico, where we've got a second PGA Tour event. It's a full PGA Tour event, I think, Steve, isn't it? Puerto Rico Open.
Very much so, John. 120 runners in this one and the Arnold Palmer, I believe.
Oh, blimey. Okay, well, this is 20-1 the field. And Matthias Schwab is the fav at 20s. John Ha is 22, along with Joseph Bramlett and Mark Hubbard. Victor Perez, 25. Cabrera Bello, 28. 33 bar. All sorts of people who don't normally get a game are out, aren't they? John Rolly Rollins, Bovan Pelt, DA Points. Loads of guys from sort of, you know, yesteryear. They're all vying to see if they can roll back the years. Who else is in there?
Carlos Franco.
Yeah, Carlos Franco, Carlos Pettersson, Rickard S. Johnson, Heath Slocum, Jason Bone. Blimey, it's a who's who of. It's like being back in 1998, isn't it? Tell us all about the course, Steve.
It's Grand Reserve Golf Club, Rio Grande, Puerto Rico. How do you like to say it? You always dig me out for how to say it. Puerto Rico. It's hosted since 2008. Don't be fooled. It's had lots of name changes this course. So yeah, it's the same course since 2008 with three different names. 7,506 yards, par 72. All types of players have won it, but it looks like a particularly breezy weekend this time. Strong winds coming at the weekend, so I think accuracy and control will count for more than usual.
Okay, it's quite ironic that, isn't it? Because normally it's the event that changes its name a lot, but even if it's at the same course, this time they've kept the name of the event and changed the name of the course. Fancy
It was Trump International, and then it was Cocoa Beach And now
give
we
us
are
a name. Give us a few past winners so we can get a sort of flavour of what kind of players have thrived.
Well, this is years. I don't think you will get a flavour because you got your plodders. Yeah, your Michael Bradley won twice there. Then Tony Finau, of course, has won there.
Oh, that was one where everyone sort of said, he has won, but it's only Puerto Rico.
Yeah, so I think you had Alex Chaker. I think Finau followed Alex Chaker too. You couldn't get two more contrasting players. So, yeah, okay. It's not easy to profile for this one, but I think you want a player that plays well in the wind this week and will control their golf ball.
All right, mate. Lovely. And you've only got three selections, I believe, don't you? Didn't you say that at the start?
Yeah, and the market is fresh. At 9:55 a.m., I had a quick look. Yeah, we recalled this at 10 a.m. The market was still being thrashed together. Four firms out. You might get better prices than this once the full market is out there. Do you want my number one selection?
Very much so.
Kurt Kitayama. I was devastated to see the 40-1 just go. Maybe another firm will go 40-1. 35-1 best at 9:55 a.m. Yeah, this is an awful field. You've got a player in the shape of Kurt Kitayama, who has just finished third in much better company in the Honda Classic. It was form which came after a poor spell, hence the reason we're getting, it's still a very juicy price. There's nothing fluky about what he did last week. You know, he set the early pace. He was up there all week. And he's banked a check there, which could have a huge impact on the rest of his career. He earned $552,000 last week. He rose from 214th on the money list to 74th. Suddenly that PGA Tour card in his pocket is feeling secure again. I think it's such a massive boost for him. He's desperate to establish himself on his home circuit. He's got two wins on the European Tour, but he'd like to think he's done with the European Tour now. He's a Californian with a PGA Tour card. He wants to stay that way. I see him building on the Honda. He's had one spin at Puerto Rico before. He finished 17th in 2017. He's ranked outside the world's top 1,000 for that one. I think the course suits. He's world number 172 now. And that windy forecast, no worries for him. His two European Tour wins came in Mauritius and Oman. He's got a decent record in the wind.
Righty-ho, Kitayama's the headliner. Main danger?
Peter Uihlein, former world number one amateur, Walker Cup star, 2010 US amateur champion, was destined for greatness. He's underachieved. I hope Adrian Sadier didn't mind me calling him an underachiever. Peter Uihlein, I'm afraid you're going to have to accept it as well. You're an underachiever, my friend, because you should have been a superstar. You've still got time. You're only 32. He's got one low-grade European Tour victory to his name. No PGA Tour wins. I expected so much more from Peter Uihlein, but he has won twice on the Korn Ferry Tour. The latest of those wins was in April last year. Still time for him. Puerto Rico Open is a great opportunity for a maiden PGA Tour title. We know he likes the course. He was sixth in 2013. He was fifth in 2017. And last week's share of 55th place. Doesn't sound much, but this is such a downgrade. He closed with a 68 on Sunday in the Honda. Only eight players in the Honda field outscored Uihlein on Sunday.
Okay, we've got Kitayama, we've got Uihlein, and finally we've got
80-1 Brandon Wu, who is having a nightmare start to his PGA Tour career. No getting around that fact. He's made only one cut, but he must have taken some encouragement from what happened last Friday at PGA National. He closed with a pair of birdies for a round of 66. Only seven players outscored him in round two of the Honda Classic. He missed the cut by a shot, but he showed how well he can play at a tough PGA Tour venue. If he's clicked, if he's found something in his game, the timing could be perfect for Brandon Wu because Grand Reserve is a fantastic fit for him. He's played in one previous Puerto Rico Open. He led at the halfway stage and he finished seventh. I gave up on Sepp Straka too early. I used to back Sepp Straka a lot. Gave up on him at the age of 28. I'm not giving up on Brandon Wu too early, you know.
Okay. Yeah. I'll say the name of the event hasn't changed, but it's changed about four times coming from your pronunciation of it so far. But anyway, that doesn't matter. As long as the golfers perform well, that's all the audience cares about, I'm sure. Should we reiterate?
I think we should, because we've got 13 tips this week.
13 tips. You're doing very well, Steve. I can see you're struggling, a little bit out of breath, but hang on in there. We're nearly done.
Thanks, mate. No, I'm not going to let a bit of COVID throw me off kilter. Arnold Palmer Invitational, Scotty Scheffler, Mark Leishman, Hideki Matsuyama, Keith Mitchell, and Christian Bezuidenhout. Was just shaking. Don't shake your
just
head.
Say them.
Don't like... shake your head. Off. I'm going to have to start again now because some people just cut to this, don't they? And then should I start again?
No, that's right. Those are the five. And then we've got five for the Kenya Open, who are?
The magical Kenya Open. Yep. Don't forget, Copperfield's on the tee, you know, announcing each player on. Oliver Becker, Shubhankar Sharma, David Law, Connor Syme, Adrian Sadier.
And the Puerto Rico Open.
Kurt Kitayama, Peter Uline, Brandon Wu.
Brilliant. Okay, Steve, well done. Excellent effort. Let us know who you fancy. By the way, Steve and I are both very much, I'm sure, we're keen to express our gratitude to everyone for all your lovely comments at the bottom of the video and all your thumbs up. It means a lot. We always go through them. And if you nail a big prize winner this week, we'll definitely give you a shout out next week. So let us know who you fancy. Thank you very much indeed, as always, for all your weekly contributions. So, Steve, what's the next few days hold? Just getting COVID out of your system? Has it disrupted anything special?
No. Just ticking off the people going negative now. So hopefully Grace was the first one. Hopefully she'll go negative very soon. And then Tommy go negative, then I'll go negative. And then hopefully the wife can continue this miracle of not having it. I mean, obviously, if the wife goes down with it, then, you know, problems. But get everyone healthy. Pray for peace in Ukraine. And if you want some escapism, have an each way treble. We can't let this podcast go without recommending the each way treble. Becker, Scheffler, Kitayama.
Have you worked out what that pays?
It was just before I came, just before they cut Kitayama, it was 31,938 to 1. So I haven't, if you can get 40 to 1 Kitayama, 16 to 1 Scheffler and 40s Becker. Yeah, it's around 30,000 to 1.
Blimey. So 50p each way on that, if they'll cut you in 15 grand plus the places, you'd be fat end of 20 grand, wouldn't you? That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
There's your escapism.
Lovely. Brilliant stuff. Okay, Steve. Well done. I hope you and the fam all feel better soon, my friend. And we're back next week for a special week in the golf calendar, isn't it?
Players Championship and the My Golf Life Open, a brand new event in South Africa. But I assume, God, I've got to turn to Colin Montgomery there. I assume you're talking about the Players Championship rather than the
My
Golf.
I am, really. I've never heard Colin Montgomery go. Rah, 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 rah.
You know, I used to love his interviews. Well, yes, Doogie. Yes, Doogie. We're having a good go.
Keep working on that one, man. Okay, well, listen, all the best, Steve. Hope the tips go well. As we always say on the show, bet responsibly, and we would love you to join us next Tuesday for another Sweet Spot.